Today we're going to wrap up our series on pride, and I appreciate you not shouting and getting all excited. I know it's been tough, and it's not over yet. Amen. So this morning, you know, I realize that some of these messages, they're hard because we all have those pride issues. We all have to deal with this, and it's just a part of that old sinful nature, and it's uncomfortable to deal with something like that in our lives. But I believe, tearing down the stronghold of pride in our lives through the Word of God. And I want to encourage you this morning that we can have victory in this area of our life, but it is seductive and deceptive. Sometimes we can have pride in our life and not even realize it. And so we need to be able to recognize pride in our life. And I want to give you 7 things this morning to help you recognize pride. And I'm just going to go through these quickly because, well, most of these we've already talked about in some regard. First is disobedience. I mean, when we think we know better than the Word of God, we've got pride in our life. When we just do what we want instead of what God says, we've got pride in our life. And we need to realize that that kind of disobedience, it's always an indicator that there's some pride somewhere. I got to tell you, as a pastor, I see it every day where you can tell people what the Bible says, but then they're going to do what they think anyway. It's pride. Number 2, prayerlessness. Prayer says, I need God's help. That's why we pray, because we need the Lord's help. And prayer is how we get God's help. But when we are prideful, we don't see the need to pray. But prayer is how we humble ourselves before God, and then we acknowledge our weakness, our inability, and our dependence upon the Lord. I want to share a quote with you this morning from a speech that Abraham Lincoln made in 1863. And it just speaks to this issue for us as a nation, but I think it speaks to us personally as well. This is what he said. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. And I just have to think that, you know, if that was true in 1863, how much more is that true today? Where it seems that in our country, we're so powerful, we're so awesome, we're so wealthy. How much better it would be if we were desperate to pray and to seek God. The God who says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Yes. We need to every day as a nation, but also as individuals, acknowledge our need for God. Prayerlessness is not just unspiritual. It's a very prideful act. I mean, to go a day without prayer is to say, God, I didn't need you today. Hopefully I won't need you again tomorrow. We need him every day. Whether we know it or not, we need to be seeking him and praying every day. Prayerlessness is a great indicator that you've got some pride issues. Third, we recognize pride in our life when there's strife and contention. We talked about this, Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife. You know, that old attitude is, I'm right and you're wrong. You know, we always think we're right, of course, But if we find ourselves constantly arguing with others, always feeling like we gotta prove we're right, always in conflict, we got a pride problem. I mean, if you think that you gotta correct the world's stupidity, not only is that a tireless, endless task, I want to tell you, you got a pride problem. When you think that it's your job to straighten out everybody else's doctrine, you got a pride problem. There's times when following Jesus is going to put you at odds with somebody. But remember this from the man that was beaten, whipped, and stoned. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12, 18, he says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." So when we got a lot of strife and contention in our life, most of the time, there's a pride issue. Fourth, judging. Now, I talked about this the last couple of weeks, James 4, 12. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Judging others is a terrible sin of pride because we're putting ourselves in the place of God. It's not our place. The fifth way to recognize pride in our life is when we despise correction. I mean, when we're corrected in some way, and some of you may feel corrected this morning. I sure feel corrected from this message, by the way. But here's the thing. If we get defensive about it, well, we got a pride issue. Proverbs 5, 12 through 14 says, "How I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I've not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin." Pride. See, pride will keep you going down the wrong path, even when there were those that would have spoken into your life or brought correction. And we all know that sometimes somebody criticizes, and it's not something that you need to hear, that you need to receive. But here's the thing. When we don't accept correction, we need to search our hearts and make sure that there's no pride that's keeping us from hearing that. We need to be humble enough to hear correction when we need it. Sixth is comparison. I talked about this one last week. It's really subtle, but almost always our comparing is rooted in pride. It's the factor. Are you smarter, stronger, faster, richer, holier, better in some way? Oh, how we compare. Watch out for pride. The last one is one of the very best ways to recognize pride in your own life. It is an indicator, I'll tell you, a strong indicator there's a pride issue. And that's what we're going to focus on the rest of the message today. It is the pride of ingratitude. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2 says, "Know this, in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." We're living in that day. There's so much ingratitude in our culture, so much pride, so much boasting and bragging all the time. We live in the most affluent nation in history, not just today, in history. We have so much. We are so very, very blessed. And yet, we struggle to be grateful and thankful. I mean, it becomes a thing where, well, it's a good thing we got a Thanksgiving Day, because a lot of people can go a whole year without really being thankful and grateful to God. When the Bible tells us, in everything give thanks, we're supposed to be giving thanks all the time. And if we're not, I want you to understand there's a pride issue. And we're going to tear it down this morning with the Word of God. See, in religious America, there's this attitude that says, "I'm a Christian, I serve the Lord, I do what's right, and I deserve." I'm so glad he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank God. I don't deserve any of the... I'm not saying this just, you know, some kind of religious comment I'm making up here. I actually believe this. I don't deserve any of the blessings of God on my life. And I'm a very blessed man. I don't deserve any of it. Now see, that offends the pride of a lot of people, a lot of religious people. Well, if you don't deserve it, then you shouldn't have it. Well, you'll have to talk to God about that, because he has shown me such grace by blessing me. And I'm just telling you, we don't deserve anything from him. We were all born with a sinful nature. We were all born sinners. All of us have sinned. And before a righteous, holy God, apart from the blood of Jesus, none of us can stand before him. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. But I'm a good person. You know, every funeral they say, they were a good person. Everybody's a good person. Well, let me tell you what the scripture says. Romans 3:12, there is none who does good, no, not one. If that one doesn't get us, well, how about this one? Jesus said, Matthew 9:17, no one is good but one, that is God. I believe the words of Jesus. He says, no one is good but one, that is God. You see, because all of us fail in some level, some way, before a holy God. There is none of us who's righteous, none of us who's good. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8, it is by grace we've been saved through faith. It is just God's grace. Amen. It's his grace working in us that changes our lives. We don't deserve anything from him. Now I want you to know, I believe that we should obey God and do right and enjoy the blessings of God. And I believe that you should work hard and enjoy the benefits of your labor. I believe that. But it shouldn't be a cause for pride. It should be a cause for gratefulness, that we're thankful for his blessing on our life. Because every good thing in our life is a blessing from God. There's this attitude that sounds, I'll tell you, in the culture we live in, this just sounds right, but it's so wrong when you look at the scripture. I have earned everything I have. I worked hard for it. I earned it. It's mine. I deserved it because I earned it. I worked for it. I studied hard when others were out goofing around. I was hitting the books, and I tell you, it finally paid off. I deserve whatever I get. I saved when others wasted. I have plenty because I made the right choices. I got to tell you, some of these boasts and brags, some of these I could say these things. I made some right choices. Here's the thing. We need to give the glory to God. We need to thank God for these things instead of trying to take it for ourselves. That pride is ingratitude. You're going to see it in the scripture this morning. But pride will cause us to think we deserve what we get. In fact, part of the reason that people are so ungrateful in our culture is they think they deserve better than what they have. Genesis tells us a story of a man named Jacob. Jacob, when he was young, well, he was a deceiver, a conniver. He tricked his older brother into giving him his birthright, and he deceived his dad to giving him the blessing that belonged to the older brother. And his older brother Esau was waiting for an opportunity to kill him. So David flees, he leaves his family, the life that he knew, And when he leaves, when he's out in the middle of nowhere and he goes to sleep, and he has this dream, and he realizes that God is there, and he tells the Lord, he says, if you'll be with me, he says, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to tithe. It's one of the first instances in the Bible of tithing. But he says, I'm going to tithe. And here's what happens. Jacob goes and he works for his uncle Laban for 20 years. And if you know the story, you know that part of that, 14 years of that, he was working for the opportunity or the privilege to marry Rachel. He also married Leah, but he was working there because he wanted to marry Rachel. But for 20 years, he worked for Uncle Laban, and Uncle Laban kept changing his wages. And Jacob just worked hard, did what was right. And he not only made Uncle Laban rich, but he himself became wealthy and prosperous, not just in material things, but his family grew and grew. He had 12 sons that we know as the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen? I mean, Jacob, eventually his name was changed. God changed his name to Israel, the Prince of God. There's still a nation today called Israel. You know why? Because of what God did in Jacob's life. God so blessed him. But I want you to hear what happens when Jacob finally leaves and he's going back home to, well, to deal with Esau. But I just want you to see this one thing. As he's on the way, he prays this in Genesis 32:10. He says to the Lord, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth or faithfulness which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. He's a hard worker. He's a tither. You know what a lot of Christians would have done? They would have said, look at me. I came here with just a stick. And look at me now. Look at what I've done. I mean, I've worked hard. I overcame Laban's deceitfulness. And I tithed and I did what I was supposed to do. And look at me now. But not Jacob. That's not his attitude at all. He had learned to be a humble man before the Lord. He knew that it was the blessing of God on his life. And he said, I crossed over this Jordan with nothing but this stick. And now, here's what he says about it. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth, the faithfulness that you've shown to me. I'm not worthy of it. See, we fall into this lie, this deception of pride, this stronghold of pride. It's so strong. I earned it. I deserve it. We can do everything we know to do. We can do everything right. And it can still just all fall apart and be gone. We need the blessing of God. It is only by the grace of God that we are blessed. And it's all ultimately from His hand. And we need to see this in the Scripture. I have to tell you, I've been so blessed in every way. And one of those ways is I just consider myself privileged to pastor a great church with such sweet, loving people. Such a wonderful staff. And I know some people wonder, how in the world is this guy the pastor? Grace. God's favor and blessing. He's just good. He's just good to me. I know. I could say, I worked hard. I could say, you know, I did this and I did that. I gave this up. I went through all of this. So therefore, no. It's just God's goodness, His favor and blessings. And I want you to understand, that's really true for all of us. Because He doesn't owe any of us anything. You can't deserve something from God. We're eternally in His debt. And the day that we begin to think that He owes us or that we deserve something, I will tell you, you've fallen into foolish pride. Grateful people or humble people that acknowledge the blessing of God. We need to realize that every good thing in our life came from God. You know, the great man David in the scripture had a lot of flaws, and sure, we all know that he made mistakes, but the Lord blessed him so mightily. And, you know, near the end of David's life, he was wanting to build the temple for the Lord, and ultimately Solomon was going to be the one to build that temple, but they're taking offerings for this temple to build it. And here's what David prayed in 1 Chronicles 29:13 and 14. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. David got it right. Everything came from you, and it's of your own that we give to you. There was no pride in their giving. It wasn't like, look what I've done. David knew it's just the blessings of God that we give out of. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. Is there anything good in your life? Let me tell you where it came from. God. Everything good in our lives came from Him. You got food to eat, clothes to wear, a warm place to sleep, much less a car to drive and a job and family and friends. We are rich. And we need to realize that it's just the blessing of God. We need to be thankful. And I know it sounds like just some religious talk, but that's only because of the callous ungratefulness of the culture that we live in that's so rooted in pride. Many of the great blessings of God, how do they come to us? They come by faith. And humility brings us to a place of trusting in God. We pray, we're trusting Him, and by faith, the great blessings come. But the reverse, when we are proud, so often it's just the efforts of man. It's I did it. It's relying on self, and it's look what I have done. How much better to give God thanks for the good things in our life. You know, it always amazes me that pride causes people to think they deserve good things in their life. In fact, as I said, a lot of times people think they deserve even more than what they have. But when something goes wrong in their life or they lose, then they say, why did God let this happen? It's God's fault somehow. They don't give Him the credit for the things that they have or the good things in their life. They take the credit for that. But when it doesn't go right, then it's God's fault. That's backwards. I gotta tell you, if there's anything good in my life, it's God. And if there's a mess in my life, well, I probably made it. We need to get it right. Every good gift comes from the Father above. You know, most of us have some areas in our life where we excel. It might be physical strength or musical ability or intelligence or, like me, exceptional good looks. Or my sense of humor, it's pretty lame too. But anyway, some of us think we're great drivers. Some of us think we're great fighters. And I hope those two don't go together. But some think they're great lovers and some think you're just all the above. But seriously, all of us have areas where we're gifted. There's a reason it's called a gift. It's a gift. You know, sometimes exceptionally smart kids, they put them in a program at school called Gifted and Talented. Right? I'm so glad they don't call it the Better Children Program. Are they better? No. They're gifted. They're gifted in some way. It's not because they went out and got it. Hey, I'm going to be gifted. Watch me. Come on. It's a gift. And we need to understand this, not just about the really, really smart kids, about all of us. We all have gifts and abilities. And instead of taking credit, we need to acknowledge what it is. It's a gift. See, what strengths do you have in your life? How about we don't think of them as strengths? How about we think about them or refer to them this way? It's a gift. Those strengths that you have, it's a gift. And gifts are supposed to be shared, by the way. Romans 12, 3 through 6 in the NIV, Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought." And there's that pride trying to rise up. He says, "But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Here it is. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Our gifts are according to the grace given us. Not everybody is called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a singer. We just need to realize where our gifts are and that it's a blessing that God wants to use to the rest of the body of Christ. We need to know that those strengths that we have, they're gifts. We talked about this verse last week, but we need to look at it again in this light. 1 Corinthians 4:7, who makes you differ from another? God. What do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? See, who made you different? Who made you a hard worker? God. Who made you wise, good in business? God. See, in America, we have this deception called the self-made man. There is no such thing. God made all of them. Every single one. There is no such thing as a self-made man. I know what they're talking about. They're talking about the guy that, you know, he rose up and he went out and got it and did it himself, and it all the glory belongs to him. Pride. But in our pride, if we think that we earned it, we deserve it, we'll always be ungrateful instead of giving God the thanks that he deserves. Sometimes it's easy for us to recognize a great talent, ability that someone has. But we need to realize also that those of us who are determined and disciplined, dedicated, that also is a gift. Of all those that followed the Lord, there is none that worked as hard or that was more gifted than the Apostle Paul. You see this tremendous impact that he had during that time where he started so many churches and ends up preaching to Caesar's household. God used him so mightily. And today, we read much of the scriptures that he wrote in the New Testament. It's amazing how much God used this man. Listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. I'm the least of the apostles. Hey, if we took a vote in the church today, I'm pretty sure that we would all vote the Apostle Paul as the greatest of the apostles. But what does he say? He says, I'm the least of the apostles. And then he says, who am not worthy to be called an apostle. He doesn't say, hey, look at all that I've done. I deserve this. No, he says, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Three things we need to see in this passage. First, he says he didn't deserve it. It's grace. He didn't feel as though he deserved anything. It's just God's grace working in him. Why do we think we deserve? If anybody deserved, wouldn't it be the Apostle Paul? And you see, in this world, so many think that they deserve. They're entitled. And they don't give God thanks. Second, it was the grace of God, he says, that made me what I am. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not I am what I am because I'm a self-made man. I did it. No, I am what I am by the grace of God. We acknowledge that if we are anything at all, it is God's grace working in us. And then he says, I worked harder than all of the others. Oh, there's the pride. But no, he says, even that was God's grace working in me. Can you put that scripture back up there? I just think it's really important. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Yet not I. I worked hard. I was disciplined. I paid the price. Yet not I. It's God's grace working in me. We just can't get any credit at all here, can we? No. We need to learn to be humble before the Lord and give God thanks for everything. I'll tell you, we'll see more and more blessings in our life if we have that attitude, because he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We are always going to be tempted to be prideful for things that instead we should be thankful for. When you're presented with opportunities for pride, I mean, your kid is excelling, doing really good, or you just got a big pay raise, whatever it might be, it's an opportunity for pride. It's also an opportunity for thanksgiving to God. Whatever you accomplish, it's an opportunity for gratitude. In John 15, Jesus is talking about abiding in him and being fruitful. And he says in verse 5, this profound truth, without me, you can do nothing. And I always clarify this because people get kind of weird and silly sometimes pulling a verse out of context. But Jesus isn't saying that you literally can't do anything. There are people every single day doing lots of things in this world that has nothing to do with Jesus. But if we're going to do anything that is fruitful, anything that matters in eternity, anything that is truly meaningful to make a difference in this world and somebody else's life, I want to tell you, we can't do that apart from Jesus. Apart from him, we can do nothing. You just need to realize, see, Paul says, we plant and we water and God gives the increase. We can plant and water. We can do everything that we know to do. This is true in ministry. It's also true in our families, in our workplace. You can do everything right. Do everything you know to do. But without the blessing of God, it fails. how we need the Lord. And I just want to tell you, I take no credit, not one little bit. I refuse to. I repent of it if I ever have. I will take no credit for this great church, for this building, for the great youth group we have and children's ministry have, worship team we have. I don't get any. None of it belongs to me. All you sweet people, I don't get any of that credit. It all belongs to Jesus. It is His grace and His blessing on this house, and I am forever grateful. And I want to encourage you, whatever opportunities the Lord gives you to serve, to make a difference, it's His doing. Always give Him all the glory and the thanks. The story of the prodigal son is one of the most famous stories in the scripture. A younger son comes to his father and he demands to have his inheritance early. The father gives it to him and he takes that money and he goes out and he lives this wild life and wastes all of the money until there's nothing left, and a famine comes in the land and he's so poor, he's so hungry that he's hired himself out to a farmer, and he's feeding pigs. This is his job. I don't know how much he was making, but it must not have been very good because he was wanting to eat the pig food. That's pretty low. And the Bible says he came to himself, and he said to himself, "Even the servants in my father's house have plenty of food to eat." He said, "I will go and make myself like one of his hired servants." And if you know the story, you know that on the way home, when he's still a long ways off, the father sees him and he goes running to meet him. Now, Jesus tells this story so that we could understand the heart of the Father towards those who repent. Here's this son who has been so dishonoring to his father and wasted everything. And now he's come home and the father goes running to meet him. He hugs him, he embraces him, he kisses him. And then he says, "Bring the best robe. Put shoes on his feet. Put a family ring on his finger. My son has come home." That's the heart of the father. And he wants us to understand this. I got to tell you, that son didn't deserve any of that. And neither do we. But that's not the end of the story. In fact, I want to read this part to you from the scripture. A lot of time, not much is made of it, but I think there's a real message for us here this morning. It's Luke 15, 25 through 32. "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Jesus tells this part of the story to expose the attitude of the Pharisees that resented Jesus welcoming sinners and forgiving them. But like the Pharisees, listen, the elder brother in the story, he has a pride problem. He says, "I've done everything I was supposed to. I've served you all these years. I've never disobeyed you." I think he was probably fudging the truth there a little bit. Any moms and dads think so? But whether he did or not, this is what's in his heart. I've done everything. Even when the younger brother comes home, where is he? The older brother is out in the field. He's out working in the field. He's done everything all along. I've served you all these years, done everything. And he's mad that they're celebrating the return of his younger brother. And he's mad that they sacrificed the fatted calf. They killed the fatted calf. But for him, he never even got a small goat. He's saying, I deserve that, not him. And he's mad about it. There's no humility or gratefulness. There's just pride and ingratitude. And here's the sad thing. The father says to him, everything I have is yours. But he couldn't even see it. He was blind to it. And you see, when we get that prideful attitude and we start judging and deciding who deserves and who doesn't deserve, and I deserve and I should have more, we miss the fact of how blessed we are. We as the people of God, we're the most blessed. We've received every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We got the things that really matter. I'm just telling you, we are a blessed people. But when we get that prideful attitude of the older brother, we miss all enjoying the blessings of God in our life and being grateful. One last time. James 4:6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility brings undeserved favor. Humility goes hand in hand with faith and gratitude. Pride brings resistance, and it produces self-reliance and ingratitude. One man said it this way, pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grow. I just want to tell you that thanksgiving, we're supposed to be doing it every time, every day, in every situation, is such a powerful way to break pride, to get it out of your life, to drive it out of your life. See, if we're humble and we acknowledge that he is Lord, that he's the giver of every good gift, whatever good is in our life, whatever we accomplish, it is all from his hand and by his grace. If we're anything at all, it's his doing. Listen, we can crucify pride in our life through thanksgiving. We just learn to be thankful all the time. In every situation, we're just grateful. We're just thankful. I tell you, you can crucify that old pride, that old sinful nature, put it on the cross where it belongs, and realize that God wants you to live as a grateful, joy-filled person. I'm gonna tell you, ungrateful people, they're miserable. Grateful people, they're happy people. God wants you to be happy, but you got to get that pride out, because it'll always drive you to ingratitude. I want to encourage you this morning. If God's dealing with your heart, you let him have his way. Humble yourself this morning. Stand with me. I want our prayer partners to come.